Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
The American pastime.
That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron.
In real time.
Lindor drives it to deep right. Goodbye! A grand slam!
Baseball stories, scores, and more.
High drive, left field.
Is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. A deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
As you know, Monty, Vaughn's been working on a couple of new pitches, the Eliminator and the Humiliator, to complement his fastball, the Terminator.
I heard that.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Now here are your hosts for the Hot Corner, Patrick Harris and Mike Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, this little thingy we do on all days that start with Wednesday.
All days that start with W.
All days that start with W.
Yep.
You gotta have start with a W, end with a Y, and have an Ed Nest day in between.
All days that have a nickname that could be sexual.
I don't follow.
Hump day?
Hump day. I suppose that is true.
Yeah.
I suppose that is true. You know, I saw something really cool today on the television. Who doesn't like a good rubby action?
You saw Robbie De La Rosa pitching?
I did.
Where was he pitching? He's still in Arizona?
He pitched an extra innings for Arizona. Did I see that mouse scroll over there?
I was going to press it, but I was like, you know what? Too early for an inappropriate drop. First segment, first 5 minutes. But hey, he actually did pitch.
So. It is never too early.
I literally got some rubby action today.
Good, good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, the stars are shining. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day.
The sun was not out today, though, so sorry to burst your bubble. You were just watching a pitcher.
I also don't think stars shine. I think that's the reflection from the sun.
First of all, if we're going to have a rule if we're going to have a rule of not putting dirty drops in the first 5 minutes, let's not blow our brains with science facts in the first 5 minutes. Let's warm up with a little baseball, then you can blow my brain.
Yeah, come on. This is baseball, America's pastime, a little bit highbrow here, all right?
Yeah. You know, I was hanging
out. Don't tell me about stars and space.
You know, I was hanging out with some friends today, and we were talking about how ridiculous it is that some people think the Earth is actually flat. Like, but no one's ever got a picture of the edge of the Earth. Nobody's died from falling off in the history of man. Anyway, so we were thinking.
Well, how would you know if they just disappeared into space?
She gone. We're going to form a list of some of the most factual, cannot be disproven items known to mankind and start a rumor that that's not true.
The whole list is not true?
No. That pick one of those.
Oh,
pick the ultimate one. And just see if we can get a bunch of our friends together and, you know, it'll start in North Portland and then it'll get to St. John's and then touch Vancouver and then
get
before
it trending,
you know it,
baby.
It'll be in Southeast.
Hashtag it.
Yeah, we'll hashtag it.
Have you seen the one that would be the most obvious? And I think it's already started, so you can't claim it.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it could be, actually, I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory. It could just be real. But I read something that said that oxygen is actually bad for us and that it's the only way we can live. But it slowly decays our body as we breathe it in, hence why we get old and die. I did read that once.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good. It also
death by oxygen.
Well, I mean, that's what they said. Just it was on the internet, so you know you can believe it 100%.
Yes, of course.
Well, see, for me, this whole thing started because, I mean, we were talking about the idiot basketball players that think the Earth is flat and how I don't believe they actually believe that. They're like creating their own little cult to try to persuade people's opinions.
They're doing a test on the human.
Yeah,
peoples.
Like Kyrie Irving went to Duke. Okay, I know you only went there 1 year and you didn't get in because you're academics, but I like to believe they don't accept people that believe the Earth is flat. So I was thinking about this and I saw something on the old book face the other day that was somebody had posted I think it was meant as a joke, but it was backing up why the Earth is flat. Because of gravity, if the Earth was round, gravity would pull all of the water to the lower half of the globe. Thus, all water would be in the southern hemisphere,
right,
and not in the northern, because gravity would naturally pull that down.
Because in space...
Well, those pictures from space are fish lenses, which is what makes it look round. It's actually just a flat board.
Because gravity exists in space, which means that the planet Earth is facing downwards and not on an axis and spinning and orbiting. And there's no real up or down in space. It all just kind of is. Okay.
I like this one.
Just I like that it's probably fake, but still. Someone probably believes that.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, my goodness. Well, coming across on the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305, I like this one. Flat earthers think the Earth is surrounded by a giant wall of ice, and that's why nobody has fallen off.
But why haven't we seen the giant wall of ice?
Yeah, can I get pictures?
And if we have fallen and we just come right back, how come we've never witnessed that happen?
Yeah, that's
I saw him fall, but then he flew back in from the sky. He fell off the Earth, but that wall of ice blocked him, and he came back.
Yeah, he
came back to work on Monday.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know what, like, cold, hard fact, not to steal something from Espen, but what cold, hard fact do you think is so unbelievably not possibly disproven that we could start?
Well, that's why I thought initially that you need oxygen to breathe. Oxygen is good.
It's a good one. That's a really good one.
That was where my brain went immediately.
But I think that one is almost too logical. That is why your body is decaying and why you age. Like that, I'm kind of like, ooh, I kind of believe that. I want something that is just absolutely asinine, like cannot happen.
Water is wet.
Well, that's a fact. Water is not wet. Is that what you want to try to tell people?
Well, you can come up with some sort of idea for why water is not actually wet.
But that's what I mean. I want to find something like that.
Okay.
Like, I am short. I am bald. What if I go around telling people I am 6'8 with luscious locks? You know?
Look, man, you just can't see it. You're in a different dimension than me. I am tall and have luscious locks, and I have decided to grace you with my presence. But once the dimension shifted, I became short and bald. So
no, the dimension only shifted in your brain, not in mine.
Yeah, I think you'd begin an interview with a big baller brand with that mentality there.
Ooh, but is it for women? That's the only question.
Of course not.
The text says, we have seen the wall of ice. It's Antarctica. Duh.
Duh.
Sorry, I didn't realize that Antarctica was a wall.
If the Earth weren't tilted at a certain degree, then yes, all the water would be pulled to a certain pole as the Earth rotates.
It is tilted slightly to the right, right?
Well, yeah. On the axis.
Is there a right in space?
Well, at least in the images
we see. Which way is up?
Yeah.
Bro. I've actually seen a map of, and they were talking about this map of the Earth, but upside down. Like, what if this is the map you were trained to learn? How different would you view everything?
Would you think? Well, that's interesting, because if you were trained to learn that, you wouldn't think you were upside down, right? You would just think that, like, Florida was at the top
exactly
left of the U.S., right, mm-hmm. if we were flipping it completely upside
instead
down.
Instead of bottom right.
Yeah. So you wouldn't think we were upside down. You just think that, you know.
No, you wouldn't think it was upside down. I think it was just more of the idea.
The U.S. has a ponytail instead of something else.
Yeah, like, I think it's more of a, like, Brazil would be, bam, in your face, and so would Africa, as opposed to now I feel like you look at a map and you see Europe and
North America.
Russia, but then you flip it upside down and Australia is just like, what up? We here to reign.
King of the mountain.
The wall keeps out the White Walkers. Of course it does.
Well, what is the quote from Ender's Game? The door is down or something, or the ceiling is the window is down. I forget what it is. I just read the book.
The ceiling is the roof?
No, that's Michael Jordan. When Ender goes into the training room and everybody's confused about what direction it is.
Yeah, and he
I think he says the enemy's gate is down. The gate is down. The enemy's gate is down.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Man. Maybe you can start something with that. The enemy gate is down. How many people have read Ender's Game that you would be talking to?
I'd like to think two.
Hi, I'm one.
Yeah, there's one. Am I the second?
Maybe.
I got my buddy Colin. I know he's read it.
It's a pretty big book, though.
It's not that big. I read it when I was like in eighth grade.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it's a really, like, a lot of people have read it.
Oh, big. I thought you meant
like big as in popular.
I thought you meant like Harry Potter Part 5 big.
No.
Like, that's big.
Like, they've made movies off of it. Multiple movies. The same one, but multiple movies.
Ooh, cooly dookly. Well, I suppose it's time to move on from that bad boy.
I just read the fourth Ender book, so.
Oh, man. Was it good?
Yeah. It was Ender's Shadow, which is, from Bean's perspective, the same time. I read the whole Ender trilogy. Actually, it's four books, I think. I guess I'm on the fifth book, which is just Ender after the situation, and then now it switches.
And then there's another point of view. I just got to Minas Tirith, so I'm still there, for those of you following along at home. I'm still in the middle of Return of the King.
Yeah.
I'll get there somewhere. Well, if you're tired of people named Ball and some crappy playoffs, we got you. There's a greats number was retired in the Bronx on Sunday. Goodness gracious.
Speak, Patrick.
We'll get to that in 45 minutes.
There are words that you can use.
And at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, the Mariners struggle, but hey, they aren't the only ones. We have the fantasy guru, Mr. Michael Lynch, in the house. Can help with any of your fantasy needs. We do that at 8:30. You can always text the show on the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305 with your thoughts. That text line also lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. You can also find us on Twitter. Mike's at MikeLynch27. You can find me at PDiddy085 and our fantastic producer, Mr. Joe Fisher, at JoeFish3. That's F-I-S-C-H. Harass us. We kind of like it. Well, big money is the name of this game, and someone has made a small step to making even more. Everyone's favorite bro got himself a deal. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I feel like I can make this beat like with mouth sounds.
I also like it a lot, though.
Do you?
Yeah. I've told you guys this before. I like the kind of spooky beats, and this kind of starts off that way. Plus, I feel like this would destroy subwoofers across the country.
Well, I already feel like it's destroying my earbuds. It just sounds like grainy, you know?
Don't listen to the song with the lyrics. I mean, if you want to destroy your earbuds, but...
See, why... Joe, you must have more patience than I do. Because you're like, I'm going to listen to this really terrible rap song because this beat is great.
That's exactly what I did with this song this morning. I was like, you know, I see this guy's name popping up a lot, and it's on one of the more popular playlists on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I'll listen to it. And I was like, yep, great beat, pretty trash lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it goes with hip-hop. I think I'm coming to terms with I'm getting lost behind the times. I'm becoming that old rap head that's, oh, you boys don't know what you're listening to.
Back in my day, we had Outkast.
I think that's right,
Public Enemy.
I think that's right.
Big Boy does actually have a really good song out now, right now.
That's, say what?
Yeah, believe it or not.
He's actually made some good albums, if we're being honest.
He has. But yeah, he's got a, it was on this playlist I was listening to. I was like, wait, who's the big boy? Big Boy?
Big Baller?
Yep. No.
Please don't.
Don't what?
He's been on the 1080 enough today.
Just what?
Baseball?
Baseball?
Please?
Baseball? I like baseball.
I like baseball. I like turtles.
I'm now a little bit your baseball here in America. This game is the most confused game of that I'm knowing.
Well, you want to be even more confused? How about we talk about arbitration-eligible players?
Oh, boy. Even
hot.
Even me, Mr. Baseball fan, I don't understand arbitration fully.
Nope, me neither. I just know that a guy comes up for arbration and...
You want to avoid it,
yeah. Yeah. Well, and players rarely win their case.
What I do know is that the player gives a number and the team gives a number. And
then there's a mediator.
Yeah, good word. Thank you. I was struggling to find it.
You were going to say arbitrator.
No, I was going to say a median, which is not the correct word. But either way, there's a mediator.
He does meet in the middle, though.
Who decides whether or not the team or the player is right, or if they're both wrong, and then they have to try to come to an agreement.
Right.
And it actually gets players pissed at their teams because they get valued so low, but it's just a game.
Right. Very rarely does a player win an arbitration case.
It happens maybe like two or three times a year.
Yeah.
But it's usually smaller level players.
Do you know that the Cleveland Indians have never lost an arbitration case?
I'm not surprised.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Poor Dellin Betances, he sure lost one.
Yeah, he really did.
He lost a big one. Well, anyway, the biggest news from the week, I would say, is that Bryce Harper signs a one-year deal to avoid arbitration and stay in D.C. for that said one more year. And he signs a $21.6 and change million-dollar deal.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little...
Just a one-year, $21.6 million deal.
Little,
no big deal.
Just a little taste of the future.
He just franchise tagged as a quarterback in the NFL. No, no biggie.
You know, this 21 and a half was nice, but I want to know what, like, 31 and a half feels like.
You know, could I get maybe, like, a $500 million contract? And can we just see what, you know, I'd love to just kind of get that vibe of what that would be like. Now, it might take years until I fully appreciate the vibe. So you're going to need to give me some time before you decide whether or not it's good for me. But, you know, maybe $500 million, that might be good.
If I can sign a seven-year, $500 million deal, is there a chance that I could be not only the first person ever to do that, but the second person when I sign another 500 seven-year deal? I feel like that's the route he might go. Because in 7 years, if he did sign a seven-year deal, which he should if he was smart, he'd be, what, 31? 32?
Sure.
And then you sign another quick five, or someone, you goat someone into a 10-year deal, and you just never have to do anything.
That is, that's going to be Bryce's future.
I think it would be super sick if Bryce Harper signed with somebody for $500 million and then just quit.
Somebody did do that in the NHL.
Yeah?
His name is Ilya Kovalchuk.
Yeah?
He was with the Devils, which is why, of course, I know it. He signed a 10-year, I want to say $300 million deal, and in his second year retired and went to play in Russia.
Awesome. And he got all that money?
I think so.
Yeah. What up? You're my dude.
No, he's not.
Then he was like,
you ruined the Devils for years.
He's like, Jersey, NHL, I'm out of here.
Going back to the KHL, baby.
I'm going back. Let's do this. Well, anyway, so Bryce Harper is locked up for one more year. And I think the biggest question is, I mean, it's no surprise that they don't want him to go to arbitration, because 21.6 might actually be cheap for them, you know, going into arbitration, especially with the kind of year he's having so far this year. But I wonder, does this at all change your perspective of the chance of him staying?
No.
Is this just a formality?
Yeah.
So it's almost like non-news news?
Basically, because it was going to happen, right? He had one more year left in his deal, so it was gonna be this way. But, I mean, I've always thought the Nationals had a chance at bringing back Bryce Harper, but I think it's a very slim chance, and I don't think signing this deal does anything. It's not like a show of faith to Bryce Harper that, like, oh, look, we're not going to bring you to arbitration, Bryce. We want you to stay. Like, of course they want him to stay. He's one of the best players in baseball.
Right.
So it's, to him, he's like, oh, cool, I get paid, thanks, I don't want to go to arbitration, but... you know, you're not going to pay $500 million for me, so bye. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They might, but he grew up a Yankees fan. It's basically been, and this is not me as a Yankees fan, just as a baseball fan. This has been writing on the wall since he came up, right?
Yeah.
He's been a stud his whole life. He grew up a Yankees fan. He's always wanted to play for the Yankees. He's mentioned the Yankees before. He's tweeting with Clint Frazier, who's going to be his outfield compadre when Clint Frazier decides to come up to the majors. I mean...
when Clint Frazier decides to come up?
Yeah.
You mean when they decide to bring Clint up?
Whatever, you know what I mean. But, I mean, it's like a foregone conclusion he's going to New York, isn't it? Isn't that just kind of... every baseball fan's like, yeah, Bryce Harper's going to be a Yankee.
Well, that would explain the beard he's growing right now. Get it in while you can.
Exactly.
Oh, well, yeah, and then they won't have enough money to sign Manny Machado, and he'll stay on my Baltimore Orioles, and everyone will be happy.
Well, when you're paying your 1-6 right now, like, 300 grand a year, you might be able to afford that.
Yeah, yeah.
All them kids make peanuts. Did you know Bryce Harper makes $13 million this year?
No.
I feel like that's more than I thought. For some reason, I thought he was still rocking, like, the 8-9 a year.
I think they did, like, a slight restructure or something. Because remember, Trout kind of did that too, where he re-signed, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. and it was like a tiny extension. Because he's going to be up for a deal soon again, I think, too. I think. Because I thought he signed like a 4-year deal a couple years ago. I don't remember. But Yeah, it's weird. I'm not a huge contract guy, like a salary cap guy, so I don't know the timing of it all.
Right.
But I just know you keep guys in the minors to stop their major league time from passing so that when you bring them up, you have a full, 6 years to keep them on the rookie deal.
If you get Bryce Harper for $500 million in 10 years, let's just throw some astronomical number out there, 500, 10 years, what do you pay Mike Trout?
Probably the same.
The same?
Well, Trout's better, but when you get to that high, like, that's going to be, I feel like that's like a ceiling that you're going to hit, right? At some point, teams
are
going to be like.
The roof is the ceiling, right, Joe?
The ceiling is the roof.
Ceiling is the roof. Yeah. Excuse me.
I don't know if you'd go much higher than that. But again, I don't know what inflation is going to look like. I don't know what the salary situation in the MLB is going to look like. But if we're talking $400, $500 million deals, then, I mean, we're going up there in these salaries all of a sudden.
Man, what number is Bryce Harper going to wear in New York? 34?
Yeah, I guess.
That's my favorite number. Why has Bryce Harper got it?
Because you love Bryce Harper.
Yeah, you know me. I almost got in a fight with some dude at the bar, some bro. He was super drunk, and he was trying to tell me that Mike Trout's a D-bag because he's from Jersey, and he's just look at him because he's clearly a D-bag. I was like, huh, that's an interesting take. I've never heard that before. Who do you like more? And he was like, Bryce Harper, duh. I was like, whoa. I even said to him, I said, can I ask you a personal question? And he goes, yeah, go for it. I go, do you watch baseball? And he goes, yeah, all the time, clearly. I was like, oh, okay. And he started spouting some more negative things about Mike Trout and praising Bryce Harper. And I said, can I ask you a personal question again? He goes, yeah, sure. I go, do you watch baseball? And I had to leave the bar because I thought he was going to whoop my ass. But I decided to just kind of say, later, dude.
Maybe he just has a vendetta against New Jersey. And look, many people do. It's okay.
Hey, man, I've never been there, so I don't
care. We've come to accept it.
I would have liked to see his face on that second time.
Yeah, just like, it was not pretty. He was bigger. He was bigger than me, too. I mean, he was a clear bro, but he would have whooped me. I mean, just in arm reach alone.
34 is available if he wants it. 32 and 37 are retired, but 34 is available.
32 and 37? Who are 32 and 37?
Elston Howard and Casey Stengel.
Oh, I know Casey Stengel. I don't know who that other dude is.
Yeah, me neither, actually.
Says the Yankee fan. Yeah. Well, Bryce has been killing it over the last week or two, but who else has? Hot and cold is next. But first, here's Joe with sports.
There's a reason baseball players are the most superstitious creatures on the planet.
This season alone, we've seen him lick dirt, eat bugs, and floss his catcher's teeth in the dugout.
From amazing...
And would you believe it? A towering smash to right field. He's hit three of them.
To the Mendoza line.
I think he's seen 12 pitches and struck out four times.
Yeah. Yes.
This is Hot or Cold, a look at baseball's hottest and coldest performers.
Oh, hot and cold at the same time!
He needs more blankets and he needs less blankets.
I'm afraid you're right.
Part of the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
.735 here on Hot and Cold.
Hot corner?
I mean, it's the hot corner. This is hot and cold.
Are you confused?
Yeah.
I'm very confused. Stop being so confused.
I'm very confused.
Stop it.
Well, I can't decide what's worse, losing 5-0 in hockey or by 30 in basketball.
Oh, losing 10-3 to the Yankees.
That's also pretty bad.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, especially the Yankees. I mean, your just heart is crushed. Oh, well, I saw Eric Hosmer looking real sad at first, so my day has been made.
Patrick did a good job. We did the guess the Yankees retired numbers in the break, and he got, I'd say, about 75%.
Yeah.
Got the easy ones in the beginning and then fizzled late. But
single digits are good.
Single digits are great.
Well, how do I remember Ron Guidry, you know?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't remember Ron Guidry.
Well, you didn't get Thurman Munson except for the hint I gave you.
Yeah, you gave a pretty good hint, too. I mean, it was you pretty much should have just said Thurman Munson.
Well, I said player who died while still in his playing age.
Player beloved who died yet still playing. Yes. I was like, oh. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, Thurman.
I did think it was Whitey Ford, and then you said 16, and that was Whitey
Ford. That's Whitey Ford, yes. Yeah,
chairman of the board.
Yes.
This is Hot and Cold. This is where we like to give praise to dudes who pay well and make fun of dudes who play crappy. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
I'm going to go first with former Seattle Mariner, Justin Smoke.
Woo!
Who is smoking the ball, if you know what I mean. In the last 7 days, he is 10 of his last 24.
Couldn't tell that was a fake laugh.
9 runs, 4 dingers, 10 ribbies, and 8 walks. That kind of stood out to me. This kid's got a little patience at the dish.
Well, finally, he hasn't had that his whole career.
Hey, it took him 8 years in the bigs to figure it out.
Hitting 281. Look at that.
He didn't trade himself for Cliff Lee. The Mariners did that. his fault.
That is true. I did see... I was following the box scores for those games because they were live when primetime was going on. Mm-hmm. And both Smoke and Saunders were just getting RBIs against the Mariners. And I was like, always the former Mariners. They kill their own team.
Yeah.
Kill their own team. My first hot is going to be a guy who just filleted the Yankees. And that would be Carlos Correa of the Astros, who look unbeatable.
Unbelievable. Did I hear they're 29-10?
Yeah. I think, won 2 in a row now against the Marlins. They look... I'm not kidding, untouchable at the moment. And when you got Keuchel pitching as well as he has, and McCullers is pitching well.
Keuchel, I would say, is the early Cy Young favorite, and Carlos Correa sure is building an MVP campaign right now.
Now, he's not over .300 batting average yet, but he is 11 for his last 25 with 2 doubles, a homer, 8 ribbies, 7 walks, so there's a lot of walks again, on-base percentage, mm-hmm. and 8 singles and 9 runs scored. He has been key in that lineup. What's been interesting, because I was watching them for every one of those games, they changed their lineup a lot. They move him around. I've seen Altuve batting third. I've seen Altuve batting second and first. I saw Correa batting third and fourth and first. It's nice. They're just kind of messing around and seeing what works. And Josh Reddick's having a good year again, which I laughed at that signing. Brian McCann's having a good year, and who knows how long that'll last, but it's working for now. And Beltran's decent too.
Well, they got that kind of embarrassment of riches. I mean, they got so many people that are multi-tooled. They can kind of put them wherever they want.
Yep.
My second, I'm going to give love to the closer for my Colorado Rockies. That would be Mr. Greg Holland. 4 saves in his last 4 appearances, no runs given up. I believe I saw a .3 whip. Just kudos to a man coming off Tommy John who missed all of last year. I thought this would be a good fit for him, a good opportunity to not be in a pressure situation, but be a good, solid closer at the back end of a... you know, kind of hellacious rotation in the sense of it's hard to have good pitchers in Colorado. So yep. Having a dude like Greg Holland bounce back from surgery like that, kudos to him.
Yet they are getting some good pitching from their starting rotation now, which is nice. So that's been impressive. Rockies have been, I'd say, the most impressive team in baseball thus far. And we kind of called it, right? We said we thought they might be a sneaky good team this year.
Dude,
so.
Their infield is unreal.
Yeah,
they don't know what to do with Mark Reynolds or Ian Desmond, and they're both hitting out of their minds.
I know.
Isn't Mark Reynolds leading the league in home runs?
Yep. Yes, he is.
That's old man Mark Reynolds.
My second hot is going to be a little love to Joe's Orioles. It's Chris Davis. It's almost only for yesterday. Hit 2 go-ahead home runs in extra innings yesterday and has hit 5-4. Math, Mike. 4 home runs in the last 4 days. He's 7 for 15, 4 homers, 7 ribbies, 5 walks as well. He's walking a lot. 2 singles and a double. Orioles are still trying to keep pace with the Yankees in first in that division and also hold off the Red Sox, who are slowly creeping back up there. But Orioles still 23-15, starting off well.
Well, I mean, they had the best record in baseball, right?
Except for the Astros.
But they did for a little bit.
They did, yeah. Yankees are in first now.
We tried to celebrate it, but Joe Fisher wasn't here that day, so we skipped it.
Yeah.
It didn't seem important.
We actually did skip a segment that was going to be a little love for the Orioles.
So you were going to talk about the Orioles, mm-hmm. but you skipped it.
Because you weren't here.
I think we were talking about, like, bad commercials on TV instead.
Oh, thanks.
Something that took, you know, better use of our time.
You know, more pressing. Me and the 2 other Oriole fans in the Portland metro area very much want an Oriole segment, okay?
Joe Fisher Sr. and Joe Fisher Jr.
No, he's an Angels fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Papa Joe likes himself some trout.
Well, he was born in Anaheim and just says, I'm an Angels fan, but never watches, so.
Yeah, your dad doesn't strike me as a man that really loves baseball.
No.
To the guys that suck, but don't really, I'm going to start with Jacob DeGrom. These are his stats of his last 2 appearances. Is an 8.1 innings pitch and 6 earned run average.
Did you skip my second hot?
I don't know. Did I?
Yeah.
Ooh, adios to that.
Actually, no. No, yeah. No. Yeah. Nope, I'm lost. You didn't.
I didn't?
Chris Davis was.
Yay!
I got completely lost in the segment for a second.
Yay!
Sorry.
So back to Jacob DeGrom sucking.
Sorry.
Whoops. 2 starts, getting shelled a little bit. I actually, as much as I like him, I have tried to tout him as the best pitcher on that staff, and he's not doing me really any favors.
really, the Mets are just a disaster right now.
Yeah.
So.
But I just always thought DeGrom was going to be the one guy that wouldn't be a disaster.
Well, two bad starts doesn't make a disaster, but everything right now is going in disastrous form.
Yeah.
He is the most stable of the starters.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's the most calm and mm-hmm. cool-headed and ready to just go out and pitch his game. But, you know, he's a location-based guy. He doesn't have the best stuff like Syndergaard does. He's very right. crafty and good at hitting the corners. So if he misses a couple of times, he's going to get rocked.
Yeah. That Maddox-esque type dude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Better stuff because he's younger, but he'll turn into more of a Maddox if he can. My first cold is a guy named Cole Calhoun, who started the year very hot. I remember putting him in the hot early in the season.
Oh.
He is now 3 for his last 26 and has a .219 average this year. And the Angels are doing better than people thought, but not Cole Calhoun.
My last one to wrap this up real quick is Edwin Encarnacion of actually my Cleveland Indians is 3 of his last 26 with a 3-run homer.
Man. I don't really know what to say.
What's 20 million divided by 3?
I'm glad that he could just have his last shining moment against my Orioles walking off.
Yeah.
One shining moment.
Yeah.
My last cold is going to be a Mets reliever, Hansel Robles, who is, I thought he was supposed to take over for Jeurys Familia, who's out for months because of a blood clot in his arm. And in his two appearances since then, he's given up 9 combined runs. 1 inning, 4 hits, 4 earned. 0.2 innings, 4 hits, 5 earned. So things aren't going well for Hansel.
Bad.
He has a great name, though, Hansel.
I'm so glad I'm not a Mets fan. I think I would just rip my eyeballs out. That's
a little extreme there.
Imagine living in New York and being a Mets fan. I would literally rip my eyeballs out and throw them at Terry Collins or somebody.
But you wouldn't be able to see and locate him.
Yeah, but everybody would have their camera phones out, so they
unless you ripped them out, still kept them on the eye stem.
Yeah,
pointed them out, found them, and then.
Yeah, that's like in Indiana Jones when the dude pulls out his heart and it's still beating in his hand and the guy sees it.
Yep.
And then it bursts into flames when he bursts into flames. What if it's like that? Like, let go of it. I let go of my eyes as I'm chucking them at Terry Collins or, I don't know, is Willie Randolph still in New York? I don't know. And
You be nice to Willie Randolph.
I did see him on TV the other day. As they're like... coming close to Terry Collins, do I get to see the look on his face when they hit him?
No. Because they're now severed from your hip.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, Sunday was all about number 2 in the Bronx. We'll look back fondly on the captain next. Hit us up on the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. You are listening to the Hot Corner.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
I was asking Mike what will be the next jersey retired at Yankee Stadium. I'm going to go with A-Rod.
Just I'm going to go with 1-3. Shut up.
How about a warm, cold glass of shut up? Did he just say a warm, cold glass? Yes, he did.
He's hot and cold at the same time. He needs more blankets and he needs less blankets.
Oh, man. I do want to try to figure this out, though. 6 Cy Young Award winners who have pitched for the Royals.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I don't know Royals history well enough.
Johnny Cueto ever win a Cy Young?
I don't think so.
Did Nolan Ryan ever pitch for the Royals?
I don't know.
He just pitched for everybody else?
Zach Greinke is an answer, right?
Yeah.
He's one answer.
I'm going with Brett Saberhagen only because he's the only other Royals pitcher I can think of. Big game James Shields never won one for
them. Nope. But you're thinking of guys who... I'm trying to think of guys who started there and then left.
Yeah, because that's what it is. Like, nobody actually wins Cy Youngs in Kansas City.
No, because they were bad for so long. The Royals were, so it's kind of like... Meh.
Like, the Indians are the opposite. People win Cy Youngs all the time, and then they just go make buku dollars for someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bartolo, Cliff Lee, Sabathia.
Yeah, like...
Kluber's got a Cy Young. He's still hanging around.
Over here, but you're right.
He's still hanging around.
You are right.
I really want to know this answer, so let's just...
Let's just sit here and silently watch
the Yankees in this 10-4 thrilling game in the bottom of the 7th.
It's very thrilling, thank you.
Fly ball. caught. Anyway, I think there was a cool spectacle in New York on Sunday as the Yankees retired the captain, Derek Jeter's number two, thus eliminating all single-digit numbers to be worn in pinstripes.
Except for zero, if they ever decide to use the number zero, which is used in baseball, but I have a feeling they will not allow players to wear that because now that they've got all F1 through 10 are actually retired, I feel like they're just going to let that be.
So I got this weird, this is kind of a weird question, but with before Jeter's number two being retired, and they've got one through 10 minus two being retired, and this kid comes up and he's like, I'm going to wear number two. Do you think there are people that like the balls on this guy?
Well,
or do you think nobody really realized it until 5 championships, 3,000 hits later?
Well, remember, six also wasn't retired yet, because that is Joe Torre.
Fair.
So he was wearing it at the time, but it was not retired yet. The rest were almost guaranteed retired by then, I'm trying to think. Yeah, they were probably all
retired. I'm pretty sure they were all retired.
I mean, he was...
But he was just kind of like, who is this guy wearing number two?
Well, he was considered one of their top prospects. I mean, Jeter had... They were showing on Twitter, it was kind of floating around during the ceremony, some of the scouting reports of him. Everyone was saying future all-star or shortstop, five-tool player, like all the good numbers that you see on scouting cards. So he was really top-of-the-line prospect.
They thought he was going to be somebody.
Yeah, and he was.
It was cool. It's always cool watching, like a bunch of the greats come out. Thus, that's why I mentioned Willie Randolph.
Yes, he was there.
He was there. Papa Joe was there. Uncle Joe was there, too.
Yeah.
Well, he's always there.
It's his job.
And then, of course, the usual suspects, the core four, and some other people were there. I don't know. I thought it was kind of
weird. Yeah, Tino was there. O'Neill was there. So they had a lot of the guys who were on the team. The weirdest thing was that Beltran came over and handed him the jacket. And apparently it was Beltran's idea to do it.
To do what? Retire Jeter's number?
No, to like come up and be part of the ceremony.
Hal, Hank, I got this idea. I know I'm an overpaid veteran who is a switch hitter but can't play a lick of field right now.
I know
now.
I wasn't really there when Jeter was there.
I think we should retire number two. I'm just throwing it out on a limb. I think Derek has been very good for this squad, and I think if anything, we should pay that respect to him.
And I'm the guy who comes up and gives him the jacket.
You know what, Carlos? That is an excellent idea. By the way, love the hair dye. Yeah. Love the hair dye.
If you ever play for us again, you need to shave it off immediately. Yeah,
and you'll be lucky to make a million.
Yeah. I just thought it was weird how he, like, finagled himself in. I don't know if he was good buddies with Jeter when he was on the team, but...
Maybe.
He was just, like, all these Yankees classics and then Carlos Beltran.
Yeah. What? No, where's Giambi? Okay. Hey, is Giambi just chopped liver over here?
Yes.
Where's Giambi?
Yes, he is chopped liver. Thank you.
I wanted Giambi. I wanted A-Rod. I wanted Clemens. Like, where are these dudes at?
They're chopped liver.
These are Yankee legends.
No. No, they are not.
Only a guy...
Don't do this to me.
Only one dude can pitch 10 starts for $20 million, and that is Roger Clemens. That is legendary to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is pretty cool. I guess we'll do the canned... what's your favorite Jeter moment, Mike? As a Yankee fan, I'm sure you've got many of them.
Oh, yeah. It's tough because I love basically anything that happened in that 2001 playoff, where he did the Mr. November home run in the World Series, and he did the flip to get Jeremy Giambi at the plate. But...
Oh, now we can talk about Giambi.
His brother, not
even the good one.
Exactly. I think it's got to be the flip, but a very close second is the Jeter dive against the Red Sox.
Into the stands,
because it's the Red Sox. And I remember it was a really... it was a regular season game, but it was a critical one, where it was momentum building, and... he made that catch, and the whole game swung on a dime from that point. So.
Yeah, and could have stopped himself like 10 feet before the wall, but decided, hey, I'm a Yankee shortstop, and thought it'd be cool if I dive into the stands, makes it more dramatic.
He did say that Yankee Stadium is always sold out, and I managed to find the one empty seat in
the entire place. Stay in your lane.
LeVar.
I wish we were on TV right now. My favorite Jeter moment is actually more of like folklore. It's more legend. This is why
the
I really
gift baskets.
No, the creme fraiche.
That's where I was going.
That's the first thing I think of a folklore is his gift baskets. No, all the ladies.
See, I really want to be on Drunk History and tell stories about baseball players because I love the like urban legends and the like the blown out of proportion. Like Ty Cobb once was jumped in an alley and he stabbed the dude six times and coincidentally went 6 for 6 that day at the park. You know, I like crazy stories like that. But as it's the 11th inning, 10th inning, I don't remember, game 7 of the 2001 ALCS. Okay. And Tim Wakefield's on the mound for the Red Sox. Aaron Boone is coming up to the plate as a pinch hitter. And the rumor
2003.
Is, 2003, thank mm-hmm. you. And the rumor is that Derek Jeter walked up to him and he said, "Relax, wait. The ghosts are here. Earn your pinstripes." First pitch, home run, Yankees go to the World Series. That's the kind
I've actually
of stuff. That's
legitimately kind of never heard that.
You've never heard that?
No.
Oh, dude, I've told this story 1,000 times. I hope I made it up because it's just that good of a story. But yeah, the theory is that Aaron Boone was getting ready in the batter's box, and Jeter is there talking to him and tells him that the ghosts of Yankee Stadium are here, and this is how you earn your pinstripes.
How do you not crap yourself if you're Aaron Boone walking up to that?
Well, because he hit the ball and then crapped himself.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, I'm a Yankee. Am I the next retired jersey?
Pinstripes and
no,
skin marks.
Because of you, Aaron Boone, the Yankees had Alex Rodriguez. Because you decided to play pickup basketball and tear your knee up so they didn't bring you back.
They needed a third baseman.
Yes. That was that year. That was that offseason. In pickup basketball, he tore his knee up and they didn't bring him back. And then there, here comes Mr. Steroid Boy himself. Alex Rodriguez, who I wish was never a Yankee.
Hey, you guys won a World Series with him, didn't you?
Yeah. You know how many we did make it with him? All of the rest?
One more than my Orioles.
Well, it sucks.
Hey, at least the one you won, he played well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Finally.
He played well in that playoffs.
It's about darn tootin' time. What's his career batting average in the playoffs? Like,
don't give me that.
.160?
It's probably better than that, but.
Coming up on the second hour of the show, Mariners struggles, and can they fix it? We're still taking any fantasy questions that you may have on the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. This is Harris and Lynch on 1080 The Fan. Hashtag